It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show. Dustin Hawkinsmith here. We're still talking some Penn State football. Replacing our good friend here, Greg Pickle, is Bill Bender, college football writer from the Sporting News. Jack of all trades. I see you all over the place, Bill, doing all kinds of stuff. You're one of the busiest national guys I've seen. You can also hear him on the radio all the time. Does a lot of that kind of work on Twitter as well, at BillBender92. He's making some time for us to talk some Penn State football, and we appreciate it. Bill, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well. It's good to stay busy, but as you guys know, the focus for me is on college football. I can't believe media days are coming. I don't want media days to be here quite yet, quite honestly.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely a lot of off-season content coming in the meantime.
That's good. Yeah, we'll be looking forward to that. I got the feeling that we're in the early stages of your rollout, and you do some ambitious stuff. And one of the things I always like to see, I like the national coach rankings. You see different versions of it. We've seen, I think, Big Ten coach rankings were out so far. But you go from 1 to 130, and you don't write up every single coach along the way, but you do a lot of them. I just wonder just your methodology, the formula, how you figure out, because you have to have some kind of mission or philosophy to try to have some criteria to rank these guys. I just wonder how you do that.
Yeah, I have a spreadsheet that I start with that, you know, have all the coaches on there, have their overall record, their three-year record, their, you know, how long they've been at a school, everything in between, like obviously the honors they get in between. It's not easy. Because I always tell people I kind of start from the bottom up, and the further you get up, the tougher it gets. So like once you get in the 70s, you start having to make some tough calls, and then you get in the 50s and it gets even worse. And then, by the time you get in that top 25, like last week I had people getting on me about not having Bobby Petrino in the top 25. Well, that to me means there's 25 coaches that I thought had a case to be better than him.
Is there an equivalence to, say, if I'm starting a college football program tomorrow, these are the guys that I want in this order? Is it not quite that, or is there, you know, some overlap with that thinking?
Well, that's the hard part, is you take the coaches, like, I mean, spoiler alert, Nick Saban's number one. I think that would be on every coach list.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to spoil it for your listeners, but The hardest part for me, Dustin, is weighing a guy. I'll just get it out of the way. Like Jim Harbaugh, who coaches at a place where the expectations are you should win 9, 10, 11 games every year, versus a guy like, say, Pat Fitzgerald in the Big Ten, who wins 10 games at a place where it's hard to do that, but you don't know how he would do at that program where you're expected to win 11 and 12. I mean, Pat Fitzgerald could coach at Northwestern forever. And, you know, Dan, that's why I think Dan Mullen's the interesting test case for that. I mean, he was always ranked very highly at Mississippi State. Well, now he goes to a place where they're going to expect 10 wins every year, and that's going to be tough. So that's the hardest part for me, is kind of weighing the expectations within each program to the coach they have.
And really, it's a conversation starter. There's no such thing as a perfect list. You're trying to take past, present, and future and meld them all together, and it's an impossible task, and that's why I think it's ambitious to take it on in the first place. Let me ask you about James Franklin, moves up from number 15 to number 12, and I get the vibe, just going head to head with the rest of the Big Ten East powers, you can project all you want about where Penn State is going, but at the end of the day, it just seems like what kept him behind Mark D'Antonio, Jim Harbaugh, Urban Meyer was maybe that head to head record and not just having a lengthy enough track record of results.
Yeah, I think that's what it comes down to. I mean, the first thing I did, well, Urban's ahead of everybody else.
Sure.
As far as the Big Ten's concerned. Maybe this guy should be ahead of Urban. To me, that's not where we're at. So the hardest part of ranking those Big Ten coaches was basically 2 through 5, where Paul Chryst is a few steps back, but I think we can all agree that record might be a little bit inflated by not being in the Big Ten East.
Yep.
Versus Harbaugh, D'Antonio, Franklin, where, you know, I mean, that'd be the criticism of Franklin, is they are 3-9 against those three schools and haven't won a road game yet. But I mean, the margin between D'Antonio to Franklin is very small, it, with Harbaugh in between. And I know a lot of your listeners will say, well, Harbaugh hasn't finished better than third in the division. Well, I mean, there were a couple plays away from doing that, and he's 4-4 against Michigan State, Wisconsin, and Penn State. So I don't think all of the Harbaugh criticism to me stems from he hasn't beat Ohio State yet. I think everything else he's done has been okay.
Well, a lot of people haven't beaten Ohio State yet. So I know how important that is to, you know, the Michigan fan base defining if their coach is successful or not. So I get it. I also get the feeling, let's just say for a second, that James Franklin beats Jim Harbaugh and Mark D'Antonio. We could be having a very different conversation about these rankings next season if that ends up playing out. How close do you think Penn State, you know, James Franklin said the ultimate goal was to be a program that doesn't really cycle down, that's in contention every year. This will be a good tester type season, but how close do you think that Penn State might be to that not cycling down?
No, I mean, they're the one thing James Franklin's mastered, and I talked to him a little bit about this in the offseason, is they've mastered the one game at a time thing probably better than any other school in the country, because if you're Penn State, and you guys probably talk about this endlessly, they go from Pitt to Michigan to Ohio State to Michigan State, and those rivalries take on more importance from on a different level each time, but he seemingly just doesn't flinch and says these are just one game at a time. I do think this year, you know, they've got a lot of people telling them, hey, you can't do it without Saquon. Or, hey, you can't do it without Joe Moorhead. And I think that's ridiculous, because you got Trace McSorley back. They've got a lot of talent through recruiting. They have a huge game early against Ohio State. You know what I hate about that, Dustin, is that it's early. I wish that game was a little bit later in the season. But I know that's one of the tone setter games for the entire college football season, not just Big Ten. And if Penn State wins that one, you got to wonder if they're going to finally, you know, not only take the East, but the next logical projection for this program is, you know, get to the playoffs. They've done everything else under James Franklin.
And yeah, September 29th, probably under the lights at Beaver Stadium, then a bye, then at home against Michigan State. And their challenge is, and you do go to Michigan a little later in the season, then you get Wisconsin at home too. These are challenges, but they are, you know, if they beat Ohio State, now you're suddenly looking at Penn State being a favorite against Michigan State, being a favorite, you know, keep holding up their end of the bargain, being favorites in these games in the second half of the season. So that it really comes down to what they can do in that game. And to bring in a new offensive coordinator in Ricky Ronnie, but he's a guy who's been around, who I think for the past year, with the knowledge that Joe Moorhead was moving on, was being groomed behind the scenes and being treated a little bit differently and being involved in discussions, I'm sure, that maybe he wouldn't have been otherwise. So he's been going through the steps of offensive coordinator. He's called plays in two ball games, including last year against Washington. So I don't know that there's going to be a big culture shock, and the fact that you've basically got another offensive coordinator on the field now in Trace McSorley. I think the offense, to me, isn't that big of an issue. The defense, where you're replacing a lot of guys up the middle, that would be one of the top concerns. What would be maybe a bigger concern for you of all these different things that Penn State's looking to replace?
Yeah, I'm not worried about the offense at all. Is that horrible to say? I mean, that's crazy to say without Saquon there, but I know they got talent at running back. I think Juwan Johnson's in line for a monster season. I would say they need a tight end to really step up, because Mike Gesicki was so good in the middle of the field down the seam. Defensively, I would say you lose a couple guys in the secondary that I really loved. You know, Grant Haley was the guy that was always in the right place at the right time. Marcus Allen, another guy, so much leadership on that secondary. So who are going to be the guys? And they have recruited well at corner. Who are the guys that are going to step up, fill in, and really fill out that secondary? Because the one thing they are doing that the best of the best in college football do is James Franklin has stockpiled a lot of talent on the defensive line, whether it was Shaka Toney, Mike Parsons, whoever. And you don't have to look too far to find that the best teams in college football, Clemson, Alabama, Ohio State, have just ridiculous defensive lines. I think that's where you start.
Yeah, I think Penn State is moving in that direction. So this year, it's an interesting little contrast, because inside they've got some concerns, some question marks about depth. They've got their starting defensive tackles probably lined up, but they're loaded with a lot of different. They're going to run a legitimate eight deep with pretty talented pass rushers. So I'm curious how that dynamic plays out. Michigan State and Ohio State, they lose those games in large part because they didn't get pressure on Brian Lewerke and JT Barrett when they needed to. So we'll see how that one plays out there. Like you said, the offense, there's some transition that takes place. I happen to like Miles Sanders behind a better offensive line.
Yeah, I think he's going to have a big year. And, you know, that's another guy that you look for a hidden, not really a hidden among Big Ten circles, but I think nationally he may take some people by surprise and have a big year there. Again, I mentioned Juwan Johnson. I think he's the guy that you started that I kind of pegged him as a breakout player last year, and I think he took a modest step in the right direction, but he wants more than that. And if you just look at his body alone, that's an NFL receiver right there. And, I think he needs to have a big year. But it really comes down to Trace McSorley, this guy that a leader, a winner, you know, looking to the NFL future. I think he's going to have that too. And all he's done at Penn State is elevate the program the last 2 years with big game performances. And you go back to the bowl game, 12-12 on third down. That's unheard of. Like, I can't emphasize that enough, that you don't see a quarterback do that on 3rd and 8, 3rd and 11 consistently. And that's a heck of a start when you say Penn State can go into September 1st and say, we have the best quarterback in the Big Ten. And that will go a long way. There'll be challengers, but I think he's the best quarterback in the Big Ten.
And you look behind him too. You know, I know we had Phil Steele on last week calling the situation the number one situation in the country with Tommy Stevens behind him. And I think you had McSorley number one in your national quarterback ranks. Did you not?
We did. And I didn't really think twice about it. I know the guy that's getting all the buzz in the offseason will be Tua Tagovailoa. I've learned how to pronounce that because I've had to pronounce it all offseason. He's going to be fantastic. So I think McSorley, like I said, best quarterback in the Big Ten. But, you know, he's going to have to live up to that because I think Dwayne Haskins is going to have a monster year at Ohio State. Michigan upgraded quarterback to Shea Patterson. Brian Lewerke, again, we probably talk about him the least, but he's probably Mark D'Antonio's best quarterback in terms of skill set, like, well, all the way around. I'm not saying he's a better passer than Cousins or Connor Cook, but Brian Lewerke offers something in the running game. So it's going to be interesting to watch those four go at it. The round, you know, like I was saying about the Harbaugh criticism, somebody has to finish fourth among those four every year. And it's been Penn State, it's been Michigan State, and it's been Michigan the last 3 years. So, you know, that's what makes that round robin so fun. To me, it feels a little bit like the late 90s. These guys are going to go at it, play some big-time games, and somebody has to lose.
There you go. That's Bill Bender. Everybody wins when Bill Bender jumps on from the Sporting News. Thank you, Bill.
Hey, no problem. Let's do it again soon.
Absolutely. Let's do it. Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports will join us in just a moment. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
You trust AAA to work at every mile. But AAA doesn't just cover your car. They can also cover your home. AAA Home Insurance protects every square foot. And when you add AAA Home Insurance to AAA Auto Insurance, you get more protection and more savings. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent today or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA Home Insurance.
Hi, Dustin Hawkinsmith here from the Keystone Kickoff Show. Stop by Route 15 Beverage Express for the best selection of craft, domestic, and import beer in the area. Let our friendly and knowledgeable staff provide you with the best service in the area. And don't forget, June 23rd, we are saying thank you for 15 wonderful years of service. Stop by from noon to 4 for free food from 409 Tailgate Club, beer samples, and prizes just off Route 15 South in Dillsburg.